At this point in the presidential campaign, it's estimated that Hillary Clinton has nearly $2 million in her war chest raised from bankers and stockbrokers in the securities industry. That's about $2 million for Hillary, and for Bernie Sanders, $47,000. Comments like this may explain why.
I think that the business model of Wall Street is fraud. And I think these guys drove us into the worst economic downturn in the modern history of America. I think they're at it again. I believe that when you have so few banks with so much power, you have to not only reestablish Glass-Steagall, but you got to break them up. That is not Hillary Clinton's position.
Glass-Steagall is that Depression-era reform that separated commercial banks from investment firms. President Bill Clinton ended it, and part of the money going into Hillary's campaign may be due to a suspicion that despite her talk of more bank regulations, she may just continue the hands-off policies of her husband. But Bernie Sanders doesn't project a lot of wiggle room on his views of banks. Break up the too-big-to-fail banks, he says, and bring back Glass-Steagall just for starters. This doesn't bother 30-year Wall Street veteran Paul Ryan, a partner at the investment firm Hayfield Financial. Ryan, the banker, is a Sanders supporter and contributor who insists that what Sanders says is no different than the advice he's been giving clients for years on how to avoid the complex, corrupt, and impenetrable mess Ryan believes Wall Street long ago became.
The whole understanding of Wall Street I have comes from Judge Brandeis. You know, sunlight is the greatest of disinfectants. Something we seem to have forgotten. You know, Wall Street has gotten dark and complex, in the last, 50 years, let's call it. There's been a disintermediation of the banks. Everything that was clear and understood, we've now murked up. There's been a trend of money going private, all the private equity funds. That's just a exercise in getting darker and darker. Less is known about what's happening, and it's conscious. Throw on top of it complexity, which I think is the great – more than size, complexity is the problem. And I like the call to Glass-Steagall separates things and makes things less complex. When you mix, the investment bank and the shadow economy with the commercial bank, that's a real complicated thing. I dare say, and I'm reasonably educated and went to law school, majored in economics, worked in a bank. I'm hard pressed to know what Goldman Sachs actually does or Citibank. And I didn't fall off a turnip truck, and I just can't figure out what they're doing right now. So, Bernie Sanders, swinging the meat axe, going, hey, let's just break it all up. That's not the gradualism that Hillary's saying right now, which is unfortunately, she's in bed with these guys, and I don't think she's going to really make the changes, not with her donor base, that really need to happen. So.
And you would get rid of all the too-big-to-fail banks like Goldman and Citibank?
Yeah. I would separate them up because they're too complicated to understand. And, there's some bright guys in – when you look at 2006 and 2008 where I was, watching from the sidelines as that unfolded, nobody knew what the hell what was going on. And when you see things like AIG and some of these institutions, they're just so complicated. And it's kind of the corollary to Occam's razor. That explanation, which is most simplest, tends to be most true. I think that the corollary, at least in the financial world, is that which is most complex is probably fraudulent.
And, really?
And I think that when you start to look at it, something happens in the details. And even if you disclose everything per Justice Brandeis, if it's so complicated, no one knows what's going on. And I think we've gotten to a point where even in the age of computers and all that, it's just too complicated to understand. And you've got to just break it back. The human mind isn't ready to deal with this level of complexity.
Now, did you come to this because Sanders convinced you or was persuasive on this? Or did he have a message that suddenly resonated with things you were already thinking?
Well, I think it's the message resonated with what I'm thinking. My BS detector is pretty hard with politicians. I had a front row seat working in a couple hedge funds, watching the hands out from the politicians. I'm an upstate boy. All of this, complexity down here in New York, it wasn't my style.
The last really radical president that we had wasn't elected. He got in there because McKinley was assassinated, Teddy Roosevelt. And if he'd run on the program that he enacted in that first term, he would never have been elected.
Yeah.
Americans don't like radicals.
Yeah. Well, I do. But I think, what America likes and what America needs are, maybe two different things. And, I would like to see him run hard. I would think that a lot of people, though, you know, there's a lot of voices of discontent. You know, I mean, of course, mind you, you know, at any given time, 80% of the country is not satisfied in the direction, and that's been the only constant over about the last 50 years.
Right, right, right.
So a lot of people are discontent, but I think the voice goes is that the American dream, in many respects, is dead. You know, I think that's a big lie that's foisted off on a lot of people. I don't think the escalator works nearly as well as it should. I came naively to Wall Street thinking I could help. Local Buffalo boy wants to help, you know, small businesses do well. And I just realized that my Wall Street education, you know, I got to watch what happened since 1987 through now. I got to see, you know, a institution like Barclays, where I'd started, turn into, you know, it was just the start of, you know, the movement that 1996 with Graham Bletchley, I think it is, you know, the basically the Clinton overthrowing of, you know, Glass-Steagall. And, you know, I saw all that stuff start to change. I'd gone to law school. I get out of law school. I go work for a hedge fund. But then got the front row seat on where speculation fit. And it became speculation much more than the formation of capital for businesses, which got really annoying to me. And you know, I just saw that money could be formed for, you know, cockamamie schemes if it was tax arbitrages or whatever they were going to do that didn't have much productive use.
Paul Ryan, a partner at Hayfield Financial, thanks so much.
Thanks.